Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring Giants players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
Giants third baseman Matt Duffy joins us each homestand.
I think when I'm going best is when I'm just staying short, trying to hit the ball right back up the middle and seeing it well.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. Today we venture into the Blue Jays clubhouse and talk to manager John Gibbons as well as shortstop Troy Tulowitzki. We'll start with John Gibbons. John, we go back a long way. You were a minor league manager on your way up, and here you are with Toronto, and you guys had a great year last year. So how much fun are you having in this job, and how much more pressure is there after what you guys did last year?
Well, I tell you what, I'm really enjoying it, that's for sure. There's, you know, nothing like being a big league manager, you know, and especially on a good team. And, you mentioned last year, you know, the first time in 23 years we got back to the postseason there in Toronto. And it was really a wonderful year. You know, we were just so-so. We went to the trade deadline. We made some big trades, you know, for marquee players, not just average trades. I mean, we made an impact, and we just took off like wildfire, you know, and then got into the playoffs and ended up getting through the first round and made it a battle in that second round. Kansas City ended up, you know, probably having the best all-around team, and they deserved to win. But it was a fun year, so coming into this year, expectations are high, and it's just been kind of so-so. I actually feel pretty fortunate where we're at, considering the way things have gone. You know, we really built around our offense. It's been kind of sluggish right now, but we think that's going to change. Our starting pitching, which was really kind of, I think, in a lot of people's eyes, the question mark going in, has been outstanding. It really probably as good as any, when you look at all five guys, probably as good as any staff in baseball, I would think. But we struggle in the pen closing out some games, and that's kind of really why we're at 500 right now.
You know, some of these younger guys in your rotation, like Sanchez that we already saw, and Stroman, I mean, they can really throw the ball. What about the mental part of it so far for them? How much are they learning as they go along?
Well, you know, they're two special kids you just mentioned there, you know, that, you know, they were always highly thought of and touted in our minor league. So we expected them to be good, you know, but both of them, which is kind of rare from day one that they got to the big leagues, you know, they've really run with it. You know, Sanchez was primarily a reliever. Last year he started and had an injury, ended up in the bullpen. This year he's like a totally different pitcher. You know, he's much stronger, much more confident. He's been really dominating this year. Stroman, another great story. When we first brought him up, you know, the big debate was is he a starter or a reliever? You know, and there was kind of 50-50 split. Brought him up as a reliever, a couple good outings, and then he was getting hit around a little bit, so we sent him back to the minor leagues to make a couple starts, and we're going to bring him back as a starter. He went back down, started tinkering with a two-seam fastball, came back, and he's a totally different guy. Now he's like a ground ball machine. And, you know, missed all last year until the final month. It really gave us a shot in the arm, I think, that we needed going into the playoffs and actually clinching the division late in the season. But the kid, he's different. He's a little guy. He's got a dynamite arm, but he's got all the confidence in the world, and he's a great competitor. So, you know, he and Sanchez, you know, really should anchor this rotation, you know, for a number of years.
Does that kind of, you know, go against what everybody thinks as far as the big guy that's on the mound or even the guy who throws 100 miles an hour? Do you like those kind of stories where a guy kind of proves somebody wrong?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know what? You know, but I think one of the beauties of baseball is anybody can play it. You know, you can be big, little, skinny, fat, you know, strong, weak. You know, I mean, it's a unique game. And if you have skills, if you're able to throw a baseball or hit a baseball or catch one, you know, you got a chance. And I think that's what makes it so attractive because anybody could do it, you know. But Marcus, he has that chip on his shoulder. You know, I think he's one of those kids that he was always told he couldn't do something because of his size. And he's overcome all that. But I think he really uses that to his advantage.
We'll have more with Blue Jays manager John Gibbons right after this.
Hey, how'd you get those cool new shirts for the trade show so fast?
Access!
Who makes all that great clothing for high schools and colleges?
Access!
How do I get my company logo embroidered on some nice polo shirts?
Access!
Access Uniforms is your go-to resource for customized clothing. Just call us to find the right product, email your artwork, and your order will be on its way directly from our factory right here in Burlingame. Call Access Uniforms at 877-755-LOGO. That's 877-755-L-O-G-O.
How do you try to get to a point with a player like a Troy Tulowitzki, who's a veteran guy, he's had a lot of success, and then he's struggling early in the season? You know, how do you get him back to where he was? It's got to be difficult. If you're in that funk, you wonder, are you ever going to get out of that?
Well, Troy is. You know what? Regardless of what he's hit since he's been here, you know, we don't get to the playoffs last year if he's not playing shortstop for us. I mean, he made such a huge difference and really turned our season around just defensively alone, you know. And one thing he has done, though, that sometimes gets overlooked, he's had some big, big clutch hits for us along the way, especially late in the season last year, even some of the games we won this year. There hasn't been a lot of them to this point, but there's been some big ones. You know, he's always hit. Who knows? He may not be the same guy he was in Colorado. I mean, but, you know, playing shortstop, you start getting a little older, it takes its toll on you. But I still think he's going to have a great year. But you know what? He's probably the most professional guy I've ever been around. You know, he cares as much as anybody. You know, and he's tough on himself. You know, he wants to do well. And it's not for himself. It's for the team. Really, that's just the way he's wired. And you know, it's unfortunate there's not more guys like him in the game of baseball at this level. And so regardless of what he hits, he does so much more for us playing defense and in this clubhouse and things like that. That's not as important to me as it is to a lot of people.
You know, a lot of people made a big deal out of Batista, the home run, the bat flip. Now, that was a big home run, and everybody's entitled to what they want to do. But there's been a lot of talk about it, you know, whether or not, you know, the old school baseball people can accept that, or, you know, the Madison Bumgarners of the world who don't like, a hitter showing them up. What's your thought on it? Because you have these enthusiastic young players, and you've been around the game a long time. So what do you think about the players and the way they express themselves?
Well, that particular play you're talking about, that was 23 years of frustration for a country tied into that one, and you know, really his first postseason, most of our first postseason. So I mean, it was so much emotion. You know, Hosey's an emotional guy. You know, but the game's changed so much, and I'm an old school guy myself. You know, but I think what's happened in this game, I mean, you look around on each side, you know, when a guy hits a home run, everything's so animated now. You know, when a pitcher gets a big strikeout, you know, they ham it up a little bit too. So, but society's changed the way everything's viewed. You know, I'm not necessarily a huge fan of it, but I think what's happened, if most managers are honest with you, probably tell you, you know, when it's happening for you, you don't mind it. When it's happening against you, you don't like it one bit. So that's kind of the way it is.
We'll have more with Blue Jays manager John Gibbons in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. You're a former catcher, and former catchers make great managers, as we've seen in San Francisco with Bruce Bochy. How much do you admire what he's done as far as the sustained success he's had in San Francisco as you guys try to push forward and continue to have success every year?
Well, you know, Bochy is the best in my eyes. You know, I know him a little bit. I don't know him a lot, but I've always been a big fan. I've actually played against him a little bit in 1988 in the Pacific Coast League. He was in Las Vegas with the Padres, and I was with the Dodgers in AAA, and you know, I followed his career. I mean, you can't forget, too. I mean, he took the Padres to the World Series against the Yanks, too. So his track record's as good as any manager's ever, you know, been in the game. And, you know, what I think he does from not seeing a whole lot of him but watching from afar, you know, really a manager's job is to get the most out of what you got. And he's always done that, you know. And the results speak for itself. You know, what you hear, players love playing for him. You know, he's an honest guy. He's a fair guy. And, you know, nobody does it better.
What about the way San Francisco has embraced this team? I mean, yeah, they win World Series, but you know, I don't know how often you played at Candlestick Park, but it wasn't always, you know, this kind of atmosphere here. And in Toronto, you guys have the same kind of thing going on where, you know, for years, Rogers Center wasn't filled up, but now you've got so much more enthusiasm. Can you compare the situations?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? San Francisco, the Giants have always been one of the, you know, the storied franchises in baseball. You know, there's so much history here and so many good teams. And yeah, I played a couple games out at Candlestick Park, and this is definitely much nicer, I will tell you that. And, you know, winning brings people out, you know, but there's such a great history here. You know, Toronto, you know, one time I think it was the first, back when they were winning in the 90s, it was the first team to ever draw 4 million people. So, I mean, you can never get a ticket to that place. And then there were so many lean years, you know, since their glory days, you know, the people weren't showing up. But, you know, I mean, you can't blame them. You know, if team's not winning, I mean, it's not cheap to go to a baseball game. So, but they, one thing they always said was, you know what, the team starts winning again and it's legit. It's late in the season. We got a shot. They'll show up. And, you know, we made our run last year. They showed up. And, you know, it's just not, they're just not big crowds. I mean, they're intense vocal crowds, and it's, you know, in Toronto, they're starting to now draw a lot of younger crowd, and you can definitely feel that. So, you know, but really, it all comes down to winning. You know, if you're successful, and people are going to come out. Everybody wants to see a winner, and you can't blame them.
You were part of a very successful franchise in New York with the Mets. You came up through their system. They won the World Series in '86. What did you learn about being a manager from that experience? Because being around a team is, you know, considered one of the better teams in the last 30 to 40 years.
Yeah, that was a special group there. You know, I came up in the mid-'80s. You know, I was up and down. Didn't spend a whole. I spent about a year and a half with them. Spent 2 months with them in '86 when they did win the World Series. But it was that was a different group. You know, a ton of talent, but it was a tight-knit group. They lived hard, partied hard, and but you know, when that game started, man, they fought on the field and they fought for each other. You know, you know, that's something I'll always remember. You know, I can't tell you all the stories that happened back then. I'm sure you've heard of much of them, but you know, it was definitely a unique group. But yeah, I came up in the Mets system, you know, after a lot of lean years over there. And year after year, they were hitting on the draft with some good players, you know. So they were just funneling through that system, you know, left and right. And, you know, they reaped the rewards in the big leagues. And, you know, the only manager in the big leagues I ever had a chance to play for was Davey Johnson. Loved Davey. He was a quiet guy, didn't say a whole lot, but very confident, trusted his guys, let them do their thing. And I used to just sit back and watch. I did take some things from that, so. I've had an interesting career. Not a whole lot of winning at this big league level. We can repeat what we did last year here this year. But you know, it's nothing like being on a winner.
Well, trusting your guys. I mean, that's what Bochy does, and it seems like that's the pattern that you like to follow because it seems to really work with the players today.
Well, yeah. You know what? You know, the players are the show. You know, they're the guys that people come out and watch play. You know, and you sign them for a reason. You have them. They're, you know, that's how you build your team, and so you got to let them do your thing. You know, you know, front offices lay out a plan. These are our guys, and you know, you hope it works. But you got to give them a chance to let it work. You know, and normally if you got good players, you know, just let them do their thing. You know, things usually work out all right.
You're turning it into a baseball town, not just a hockey town and basketball town there in Toronto, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. Surprisingly, you know, it's funny when my first few years up there. You know, when, you know, we'd start the season, you still had basketball, but hockey was going on. So hockey was always number one on the – and then the NHL season was over, it became junior hockey was number one, you know. And then you had the Blue Jays and then maybe the Raptors, but their season was starting to finish, wind up by then too. You know, but that changed last year, you know. And, you know, I think our fans right now are a little bit frustrated where we're sitting and kind of how to the start of the season. Because, you know, they got spoiled and they got a taste of it again last year after so many years. And so hopefully we can make it worth their while, too.
To finish up, what about the perseverance that you've had, too? Because you were Blue Jays manager, then you're not, and then you come back. I mean, that doesn't happen very often in any walk of life, any profession, really. So what does it say about you and just the way that you've been able to persevere? And, you know, you don't burn any bridges. That's always important, I would think.
It says I fooled him twice. No, yeah. Generally, they don't bring you back unless you want something, you know, like the old Billy Martins and those guys. But yeah, you know what happened after I got cut loose my first go around there? J.P. Ricciardi was a GM, and he was an old A-ball roommate of mine with the Mets as a player. He brought me over there, And then when I got fired, at the time, Alex Anthopoulos was the assistant GM, and we were great friends. We became great friends. And after I left, I was in Kansas City for 3 years, and then I went back home, managed my double-A team in my hometown. But all those years that when I was gone, Alex would call me and ask me about certain players that I might be seeing a lot, because Alex was a real go-getter, you know, and he was constantly, you know, looking at players about maybe acquiring players or getting evaluations. I mean, he'll get an evaluation from, you know, everybody and their brother, you know. I mean, that's how thorough he is. So we kept in touch that way, and we were friends. You know, we'd talk periodically just as friends. And, you know, when John Farrell was here as a manager, and, you know, then, you know, what happened there when he was in, it was going to leave and going back to Boston. Alex ended up, he wanted somebody that I think he knew and really wanted somebody that had some experience. And he contacted me, and at first I didn't think it was about the managing job. I thought, well, you know, because I told him before I'd love to come back there and coach, you know, so I was kind of thinking maybe that's what it was. And he offered me the managing job. And first I told him, I said, now, you sure you want to do this? You know, it might be some bad PR for you, you know. And then I didn't know if he could sell it to Paul Beeston, our president at the time, but he pulled it off somehow, and here I am. And so I owe it all to really J.P. Ricciardi, the guy that first hired me, and then Alex for putting his neck on the line and bringing me back.
Well, John, I want to thank you for the time today. Also, I want to thank you for when I was a young broadcaster in AAA, and I was a little intimidated by walking into the opposing team's clubhouse and into the manager's office, and you always welcomed me in with open arms, and I learned a lot from that. You know, don't ever be afraid to try to talk to somebody. Thanks so much.
Well, hey, I knew you were good, and I knew you were one of the good guys, so it makes it easier.
All right, John, good luck not only in this series but the rest of the season.
Thank you.
That's Blue Jays manager John Gibbons. Coming up, we're going to hear from Jays shortstop Troy Tulowitzki right after this. A little reminder, each week during the season, we'll be giving away a free T-shirt from thesportsvirus.com. All you have to do is ask a question for one of our guests, and if your question is chosen, you'll receive a free T-shirt from thesportsvirus.com. To send your questions in, email us at thesportsvirus@gmail.com. or on Facebook, the sportsvirus.com page, and please like us while you're there. Now let's get to the conversation with Blue Jays shortstop Troy Tulowitzki. Troy, you know, look at the Giants and the Blue Jays, and both of you guys seem to be underachieving for what you think you should be doing. So how do you feel about the season so far? Do you feel like, you know, you guys haven't really caught your stride, or where do you stand?
We are, 30 games in, so it's a little premature to say any team's underachieved or whatever. You know, I think we're both trying to figure out our teams and the strengths and the weaknesses, and then you make adjustments and you go from there. It's such a long season that we both have plenty of time. We both know that both these teams are good, and I think both these teams will be right where they need to be when they need to be there.
If you're in a funk, like right now, you know, you're not hitting the way I know that you'd like to be hitting, how do you get out of that? I mean, how do you mentally keep yourself going through it?
You just keep at it. I've been playing this game for a long time. It gets frustrating, there's no doubt. There's no hiding that, but you just keep going. You try to go back to basics. You try to go back to, hey, playing this game when you were a kid and it was fun. You know, you try not to grind too hard, but it's not fun when you're going through it, but when you get hot, it definitely is.
How much does it mean to you to hear this? I mean, John Gibbons, I just talked to him, long interview, and he was saying how much you meant to the team, not just the hitting, but everything else you do defensively, the enthusiasm you have for the game, everything that you bring to the table. What does that mean to you?
That's definitely a compliment, and obviously Gibby's someone that has a lot of respect in this game. But, yeah, when you're not doing it in one phase of the game, you can definitely do it in another, and that's what I try to do defensively, and then you can always be a good teammate. You know, you can't play this game forever, so you try to have as much fun as you can and not grind too hard.
Tell us about the adjustment to playing in Toronto. I mean, last year you get traded over there. It was a wonderful ride. But how did you handle just the change? Because you'd been in Colorado your whole career.
It was difficult. I'd never been in a different clubhouse, never been in a different uniform, getting to know new teammates. So there is that transition period. But this year I feel comfortable. It's a great group of guys, and hopefully we can build something special.
It's kind of a reminder of just the whole business of baseball. Not everybody could be like Todd Helton and play his entire career in Colorado.
Yeah, it is a business. You know, I had to learn that the hard way, but I've heard it before, but when it happens to you, it's a little bit different. But you deal with it and you go on.
What about baseball in Toronto? And, you know, you're in a different country, and the fans really are gravitating to you guys and what you did last year. How enjoyable has that been?
Yeah, it's fun. We really have a whole country behind us. They come and support us on the road. They're great in Toronto, and we're playing good baseball. They come in bunches, and they're loud, and it's a good group of people to play in front of.
How do you take a look at some veteran pitchers that you face? You know, when you have a guy like Jake Peavy or a Matt Cain who's on the mound today, you know, you've faced them so many times. It seems like you would just know them left and right. Does that help you that much, or can you help your teammates with the knowledge that you have with that?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's vice versa, too. They face you so much that they can switch things up and make different pitches and really reinvent themselves. And I think us as hitters are doing the same thing. So it's really a game, a mental game. You don't look too much into it and say, oh, this person has an advantage. You go out there and you just compete to the best of your abilities.
Now that you're more of a veteran guy, how do you take the younger guys under your wing a little bit? Do you come to them? Do they come to you? How does it work as being a leader?
Both. You know, you share your experiences with them because you've been there before, whether they're going good or bad. I think the best advice that I give them is try to be as even keel as you possibly can. It can be tough, and you feel for those guys, but I always try to be there to support them.
And what adjustments have you made as you've gone along in your years at shortstop? Because I remember watching you when you first came up. I actually watched you play at Long Beach. And, you know, when you're a young kid, you're just bouncing all over the place. What's different now, maybe as the veteran guy, as compared to when you first started?
Well, I'm smarter out there. I don't dive after every ball that I can't get to. So there's a lot of adjustments. I know the hitters around the league better, so I put myself in a better position to make plays. Try not to make that mental mistake that you do when you're young. And overall, just be as fundamentally sound as you possibly can be.
And before we finish up, Matt Duffy is another guy who came out of Long Beach State. Not many people expected him to be a Rookie of the Year candidate last year. He's done a really good job. Have you followed him at all? I mean, just watching him from afar, and what do you think about him?
Yeah, I know Matt pretty good. Obviously, us Long Beach guys try to stick together and become friends. I saw him this year actually at Blair Field. We hit on the field one day, took some ground balls, so he's a great player. I'm happy for him. You know, like you said, no one really expected anything out of him. He's really gave the Giants a lift last year, and now he's the regular third baseman. He gives a quality at bat, and the Giants are lucky to have him.
All right, Troy, hey, thanks a lot for the time. Really appreciate it, and have a good time here in San Francisco.
All right, thank you.
That's Blue Jays shortstop Troy Tulowitzki. Coming up on Wednesday, we will hear from Matt Duffy, Giants third baseman, and our regular guest here on thesportsvirus.com. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin.